The Tolkien Road, Episode 250, Lord of the Rings TV, Hobbits, Nudity, Silmarillion Rites, and More. Hey there, fellow travelers. Welcome to The Tolkien Road, Episode 250. Greta,
250.
What's up?
Hey, not much. What's up with you?
Not a whole lot. But I'll tell you what there is some stuff up with, maybe, is Latron Prime. So that's what this episode is going to be all about. On this episode, we are going to examine and react to a recent spy report published by the OneRing.net.
Ooh, I like spy reports.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. So this is this just came out. Nope. Sorry about that. This just came out yesterday, as far as I believe, or the day previous. So we're recording this on... what is today? Thursday, the 22nd of July. I believe this news came out on the 20th or the 21st. I saw it on the 21st. It seems to be a lot of discussion going on about it because it's pretty interesting news. So we're going to get to that. But before we get to that, we'd like to give a double up air five to our patrons.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So patrons, get ready. Hope you're watching this on video so you can get the full effect. All right. You ready, Greta?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1. Whoops. There you go. Put those hands up to the screen. Match our double up air five if you're a patron. Special thanks to this episode's executive producers, Lee Siu, Andrew T, John R, and Ms. Anonymous.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And a shout out to our newest patron, Zach M.
Zach. Thank you, Zach. What's up?
Thanks for becoming a patron. We appreciate it.
Very much.
Please support the Tolkien Road by visiting patreon.com/Tolkien Road and becoming a patron. That lets you support the show in a very tangible way and land you some awesome perks. And don't forget, you can now make an annual pledge and get 1 month free.
Good deal.
Boom.
Do it.
Do it. All right. And subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes and other podcasting platforms. If you are a 5-star fan of The Tolkien Road, you can really help us out by heading over to iTunes or your preferred source for the show and dropping us a rating and review. When you do that, it helps get the word out about the Tolkien Road, which then encourages us to keep on evering on.
Oh,
that's what we're all about over here, is keeping on evering on.
Evering on. I like that.
All right. It's time for the weekly Tolkien Road Air 5 for all those watching us on YouTube. Mm. All right?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. All right. So make sure you comment Air 5, right, on the episode as you receive it. Okay. So... while you're at it on YouTube, subscribe and click the notify bell for our channel as I'm ramping up the release rate over there. I'm in the process of getting all of our old episodes over on YouTube as well. So some of them do have video that I haven't shared yet. Some of them don't. But anyway, they're all going to be over there in perpetuity as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, there's another reason to go over and subscribe to us on YouTube, right? Easy way to go back and, you know, listen to us while you're over there. So... or watch us in some cases.
I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So this is going to be, you know, kind of a concise episode because we're really just going to focus on looking at this OneRing.net report. We're actually not going to do any correspondence with this show. We got a lot of correspondence to get to. Hopefully we're going to maybe do a standalone episode here soon on some of the correspondence. This is kind of an odd time for us right now too, because we've been doing some travel. We're kind of on and off some traveling at different times. So July in general is just kind of been a busy month for us, but this was such big news. We wanted to get this in, and talk about it. Cause I think it's really exciting, really fascinating. And, you know, we'll see. Your mileage may vary, but I mean, I'm pretty, just making me more excited for this show. All right, so
that's good.
So a couple of things I want to say from the get-go. This is an article on the OneRing.net, a well-known Tolkien fan site. It's been around for a long time, certainly predates us. And so some of you all may remember several months back we had Clifford Broadway on the show as a guest, and he came on and talked about the news at that point that was... that had to do with, like, is there going to be nudity, sexual content in Latron Prime? And we had a really great discussion with him. He is a longtime, you know, Tolkien super fan. and kind of, you know, kind of an outsider insider, if you will, seems to have a way of keeping his finger on the pulse of what's going on in like these kind of big productions, you know, Hollywood style productions. And so go back and watch our discussion with Clifford back then, and because I think he's the one who is the main kind of compiled this information. I know he's not the only one involved with the OneRing.net, but I think he's kind of who a lot of this information gets funneled through. So to have an idea of who this is coming from, you can go back and watch our discussion with him. Very, very knowledgeable guy. We really enjoyed our conversation with him. Yes. And we want to give a shout out to him. Just say thanks for, you know, your part in putting together this content here. And I'll make sure and link to it in the show notes. But you can just go over to the OneRing.net if you don't want to, if you're too lazy to go to the show notes. that's pretty lazy, I'm just saying. But just go to the OneRing.net, and it's probably pretty easy to find from their
whatever
website.
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat.
So, and a couple other quick things. Spoiler alert. So if you don't want to know, this is your spoiler alert. From here on out, we're going to spoil everything for you. Not everything, but we're going to spoil what we know. So just, you know, 3, 2, 1, stop if you don't want to go further and don't want to get anything spoiled for you.
So when you say spoil, I mean, none of this is like for sure, right? I mean, well, this is still kind of conjecture.
Well, I also want to put a rumor stamp on this because a lot of it, you know, the OneRing.net seems pretty confident in a lot of these things. But none of it is official information, right? None of it is like you heard it from Amazon Studios or the production team, right? This is all coming through unofficial channels, right? So,
but the One Ring is a very reputable source for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not really in a position to like judge that in a like journalistic fashion one way or the other. I'm just saying I'm going to give you the source and we'll discuss like, you know, how confident does this seem, or you know, how true does this? Some they seem very confident about a good bit of it, right? Mm-hmm. That we're going to get into, but we'll discuss that along the way, right? I just want to get out there, like first of all, spoiler alert. So, if you don't want to know any of it, just stop listening, right? You know, you might get something spoiled, right? That you didn't want spoiled. That's all I'm gonna. That's why I'm giving you the spoiler alert. So it's up to you to respond to that, right? And then the rumor stamp is just to say we're hearing about this from the OneRing.net that's hearing about it unofficially. So. Take, you know, your mileage may vary, take that for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to talk about these things because there's some really interesting things in here, and it appears to not just be, you know, just unfounded, like just stuff that somebody made up. Right.
So, cool.
So there you
all
go.
Right. Good stage setting.
All right. All right. So let's look at the report. The article is titled Spy Report, 20 New Details Emerge from Amazon's Lord of the Rings, Characters, Sexless Nudity, and Halflings.
Oh.
Yes. So.
Okay.
All right. Interesting headline. And it is, the article is in fact attributed to Cliff Quickbeam Broadway. So Clifford from who we had on several months ago. So we'll take this as all coming from him. All right. So I'll read the first couple of paragraphs. I think it's good stage setting. And then the rest of the article, it's really nice. It kind of proceeds in bullet point fashion. So we'll just be able to kind of go through those bullet points and react to them. All right. So here we go. First two paragraphs. Amazon Studios' The Lord of the Rings Second Age series has been notoriously secretive during the 18-month production, but inside info is finally trickling out of the billion-dollar series thanks to anonymous spy reports coming out of New Zealand. We have been able to verify most of today's report is currently accurate per sources that are involved with the production. Most of these spy reports have come to us in short-form bullet points and are shared as such below, with additional context and editorial in brackets from staff writer and weekly host Clifford Broadway. So I'll make sure I note where it's Clifford and editorializing on some of these things. Our spy hotline is still the same after 21 years, and our direct messages are open on Twitter and Instagram. To celebrate the hardworking artists and craftspeople working with such passion way down in New Zealand, we shed light on their efforts and help include them in the embrace of fan enthusiasm. As with previous intrepid filmmakers tackling a version of Tolkien, the fandom fully indulges our unbridled curiosity with an open hand while shouting support from afar, a grand tradition of an engaged fandom. All right, so, you know, good stuff mm-hmm. to open up here. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you somehow come across some inside info, you know how to contact and who to contact there. Hey, you can contact us and we'll pass it on. So, you know, we're happy to be the channel for interesting information. All right. So the first, there's actually three sections to this article. The first section is lore, legal rights, and the Tolkien estate. All right. So They start off by noting, this isn't one of the bullet points, but they start off by noting that the Tolkien estate is very happy with how things are progressing.
That's encouraging.
That is really encouraging. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know. We don't know any of the sources for this. The Tolkien estate hasn't come out and said, we are very happy with how things are progressing. But it has certainly been a concern that, that the Tolkien estate would not be happy, right, over time. And and is it this kind of thing where Amazon could kind of run away with it all and do whatever they feel like, right?
Yeah.
And so that is an encouraging sign. If the Tolkien estate is indeed happy, that is a highly encouraging sign to me. I will say on that, like, I don't exactly know, though. I think when Christopher was still with us, it was one thing to say the Tolkien estate is very happy, because you kind of assume that means that Christopher was happy, right?
Yeah.
Now that Christopher's not there, I'm not really sure who is running things, right? I could probably figure that out, but it just occurs to me, like, who is running things? And for him, her, they, if whether it's an individual or a group of people, like, why are they happy, right? And what are their expectations? Like, what are the parameters? So that's something we don't know about. But I will say in general that, you know, if the Tolkien estate's happy about it, then that gives me a warm fuzzy, right?
And just as for clarification purposes, this is the Tolkien estate is not synonymous with the Tolkien Society. Is that correct?
No.
Okay. So this is kind of like a more concentrated
The Tolkien estate is you can just think of it as like they are responsible for, I mean, they have all the rights, or, you know, okay. Like it's kind of like Tolkien, you know, it's the thing established to manage Tolkien's estate.
So they're like,
right?
The owners of everything that Tolkien wrote, basically.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I believe the legal right holders, all of those things. Okay. I think it's pretty much a direct thing of, like, it's what, after Tolkien died, it's what took over. And then, you know, and then Christopher kind of, I think, was the head of that for his life after his father passed away.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. That's actually an interesting discussion. I could see us doing an episode just trying to understand what the Tolkien estate is. Now, the Tolkien Society is more of an academic group that is, I don't think it's affiliated with the Tolkien estate, but I think it kind of strives, it's been around a long time and it strives to be, in connection with the Tolkien estate and kind of, okay, you know, be true to Tolkien's works. I know that several people who listen to this podcast are members of the Tolkien Society. So, but I don't think it's like has any like legal, you know, bearing on Tolkien stuff. So,
but the estate does.
Right.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's also encouraging because we should remember that the Tolkien estate, it seems that they're involved and with this at some level, maybe at a strategic level, just kind of overseeing things. And we should recall that they were never really happy with what Peter Jackson was doing, right? Mm-hmm. So this seems to be an encouraging thought, right?
They were not happy.
They were not really happy. Not that they were like full-on attack mode against it, but it was one of these things where Jackson and New Line had gotten the rights to doing Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, not directly from the Tolkien estate. It kind of been rights that had been passed along, you know, and bought and sold and traded and all these kinds of things. And they eventually came to him and made their own thing. So Jackson wasn't as beholden to the Tolkien estate as Amazon is, since they, you know, got the rights to do what they're doing directly from the Tolkien estate.
Got it.
All right. All right. So, Amazon does have merchandising rights. So, you know, do with that what you will. I'm sure there'll be lots of merchandising. Three lore experts and Tolkien scholars were on set for a time during production. So this is interesting because the last thing we had heard about the whole expert/scholar, you know, sort of, you know, who is speaking for staying true to Tolkien, right? You know, whose job, like, there needs to be somebody whose job that is, and something like this, right? And it doesn't say who these people are, but there are three of them. I don't know. You know, not knowing who they are, like, it's hard to say anything more about what that means. I mean, they could be bad lore experts for all I know, but anyway, hopefully they are, like, you know, by the book types of lore experts, you know, we got to stay true to what, you know, what the parameters and the boundaries that Tolkien set, right? So hopefully they are well-versed, well-steeped in all of Tolkien's works. Hopefully they had to pass some, like, excruciating exam, you know, of, like, the minutiae, like, chapter and verse of the History of Middle-earth closed book, and, you know, and get all this stuff right before they could be let in.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, completely reasonable.
Completely reasonable.
Memorization of the History of Middle-earth is required.
Yeah. Full recitation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Anything less from a Tolkien lore, supposed a Tolkien lore expert? No. No, mm-mm. Not a lore expert in my
not
book.
Not a lore expert.
I'm being a little facetious, but just a little, seriously. So, yeah, they apparently on set. So, last thing we heard was that Tom Shippey was that guy, and then he had gotten fired, and that was a while ago. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's three others that are there, and it would be great to hear who these people are, and so we can all get our claws into them and be like, what have you been telling them? What are they doing, right? Hopefully, you know, I'm sure we'll find out at some point.
At some point,
so,
yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next section, which is production details. All right. Wait a minute. Did I miss? Oh, yeah, I missed one. I missed the top bullet,
like,
point.
The most important one,
I did.
I think.
I was like, hold on. Yes.
Yeah.
This is awesome. All right. And this says confirmed for the first time ever. No, confirmed for the first time ever.
Like, confirmed is in all caps and ever is in all caps.
Confirmed is not just in all caps, but it's got asterisks around it.
It's got little stars around it.
So it's like confirmed,
like,
for the
in
first
your face
time
confirmed
ever. I think they should have said evar, right? E-V-A-R, because that means like evar, like that's like an even bigger ever.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, that's like internet lingo speak, you know.
Oh, see, I'm not up on that.
Yeah, you are.
Evar.
Oh. Evar.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, here it is. So. Elements and passages from the Silmarillion and Unfinished Tales are licensed by Amazon Studios for this adaptation. All right, so that's what the spy report part of it is, right? So, say again, elements and passages from the Silmarillion and Unfinished Tales are licensed by Amazon Studios for this adaptation. So, that doesn't say that all of the Silmarillion and all of Unfinished Tales are licensed. That says that elements and passages are, right? So, that's cool, because that means that the Tolkien estate is happy enough to license more things to them and, mm-hmm. And then, you know, let them create the show that really needs to be created, right? Because you kind of think it would be really hard to do this, to do a show about Numenor in the Second Age if you didn't have the rights to Akalabeth. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you didn't have the rights to a lot of the stuff that's in Unfinished Tales, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, does that mean that we could be like Aldarion and Arrendis, right?
Yeah, I was thinking about the Mariner's Wife.
The Mariner's Wife could be worked into mm-hmm. this somehow. Mm-hmm. There's obviously, you know, passages about the description of the island of Numenor and Unfinished Tales. The kings of Numenor. So there's lots of things within the Unfinished Tales that, you know, should be licensed to make this a full representation of the Second Age. So that is highly encouraging. So
that's really encouraging. Yeah.
So Clifford's editorial brackets on this say, we broadly speculate those are sections of the book relative to Numenor and Rings of Power, including full rights to stories licensed in the appendices of The Lord of the Rings, which already mentioned Numenor and much more. Actors had posted Instagram pics from Silm over the last 18 months. So there you go.
Like pictures of the text of the Silmarillion?
Of them reading Silm, you know, things like that, yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe just like holding the book or something like that,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha, okay.
Because honestly, you know, there's a good chance that a lot of these people had read Lord of the Rings before, mm-hmm. but, mm-hmm. you know, most of them probably had not read the Silmarillion. Mm-hmm. Most of these actors had probably not read the Silmarillion, right? So, or Akalabeth. So they had to like, they, you know, certainly at a minimum, it's like, if you're going to be an actor on the show, you better have read Akalabeth.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Of the Rings of Power in the Third Age, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So
that's great news.
That's really, really fascinating news, right? And I think long-term, in terms of the long-term, I think what's really fascinating about that is that means that my speculation, which is that if this thing works out well, that Amazon is going to get the rights to do stories from the Silmarillion as well, right? Eventually, right? So all of this is very encouraging, very exciting to me. Again, you got to take it all with a grain of salt. It's unofficial news. And, you know, you also have to take it with a grain of like, this is probably coming from people who work on this and are excited about it. Anyway, there's more to come. You can't you always got to wait and just kind of like suspend judgment and wait for your own assessment of things as you see it all unfold. But, but you know, here we go. All right. The next section is production details. All right. The first bullet point, men, elves, and dwarves have their own sequestered production units for the different free peoples. All right, cool. So basically I take this to mean like, you know, they're trying, this is maybe an efficiency move, but it also, you want to isolate different parts of the production so that nobody who's not, who doesn't have the rights to the full story of it all is able to see it. Right. So Clifford's spin on this, Clifford's editorial, editorializing on this goes as follows. This intriguing bit rather suggests the narrative might be constructed across wide time jumps or told from pockets of different historical viewpoints, perhaps even an anthology approach, rotating characters from the various free peoples all reacting to the same thing or just not cooperating with each other in season one. But over what timelines, we still do not know, right? Mm. So again, over what timelines we do not know, that's right. So 3,000 years of history in the Second Age, we don't know when this thing starts, if it starts in year one of the Second Age. We don't know if it starts, you know, 100 years before the end of the Second Age, right? So, you know, so Clifford's spin is basically that this just says that this, you know, we could be looking at kind of like different episodic focuses, right? And in terms of different episodes, because you're trying to weave something together that's pretty grand, you know?
Yeah.
Grand in scope.
And that would make sense for a first season, too, because there's going to be a lot of stage setting that has to happen, so you know there's got to be a lot of background and, you know, foundational stuff happening, which could be hard to do when you're, if you're trying to have everybody work together. So it'll be more focused, you know, a more focused introduction,
right? And I also kind of, well, the next I think the next couple of things are going to indicate what I said at first about that too. All right, so let me get into those. Scripts are only digitally shared among actors and crew under draconian control mechanisms to track any persons who would access them or who could access them.
Okay.
That says to me that, you know, they really are concerned about anything, like any actual details about the story getting out, right? So that, again, gets back to what I was saying about men, elves, and dwarves kind of having their own sequestered production units. Security on this thing is of tantamount concern. And then there's a fake production team shooting decoy footage on fake sets unrelated to the real production. That's when you know you're filming something that's really expensive, when you got a lot of money in your budget, is when you can film fake stuff.
I wonder, wouldn't it be cool if they eventually released that too? Like on YouTube or something? That would be really kind of
fun. If it's cool, yeah, why not? Cool. You know, that would be kind of fun, honestly. You know, that's, and if, you know, they're probably, that's probably in the back of their minds. I wouldn't want that to be something that happens anytime soon.
No,
because you want you want the show itself to be out there, but once it's like, it's once it's several years in and it's a known quantity in a lot of ways, I think that could be a fun little thing.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
Behind the scenes footage, you know, and fake footage, right?
Yep.
And so Clifford says about this that thus makes some reports of location sightings false leads by tricksy hobbitses, and we must admit this is very clever indeed. Peter Jackson never used decoys, right? So
I mean, you gotta be on lookout for those tricksy hobbitses.
That's right.
I mean, you just never know what they might be up to.
Indeed, indeed. Next bullet point. Main units wrap shooting in April 2021, while many actors are back in the UK or are now on other productions.
Okay.
So the main shooting was wrapped, but you know, post-production for this is probably huge, right?
For
there's
sure.
a lot of post-production work that has to go into it. As someone who has to post-produce a podcast and now, you know, YouTube production on a weekly basis, post-production is no small feat. So by the way, I mentioned we have a Patreon account. So post-production is no small feat. And then J.A. Bayona's episodes are a standalone entry point to the series, like a feature film. So Bayona is the showrunner, and I believe he directed the first two episodes, like the kind of the pilot episodes for this, right? So
That mean, a standalone entry point?
I think it's intended to be like, I think he's just saying like it's almost like it's like a film, right? Like the first two episodes almost comprise like a film. So you can think of it as like, you know, it's like a kind of a grand introduction to the whole story. If this is going to be a grand production that goes over like five or six seasons and, you know, has 10 to 20 episodes a season, and we're dealing with, you know, dwarves in one episode and elves in one episode, and you know, over thousands of years, there's going to be a lot going on. But the but maybe this, you know, entry point is a you know, it's supposed to just kind of like get you
a lot of ground,
cover a lot of ground, yeah. Introduce the whole thing, set the stage in a pretty grand fashion.
So we're looking at like pretty long pilots. Is that like
lengthwise,
yeah, and then also the amount of information they'll cover? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
Good.
There are more incredible directors and big stars yet to be announced. All right. Cool. Yeah. You, I mean, I kind of like that there haven't been a lot of like super well-known people associated mm-hmm. with this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that they have consciously not done that. So I hope it's not anybody too famous, or I don't know, maybe it'll be cool if it is, but I like at least that they've kept that on the down low. That hasn't been the big focus, like, mm-hmm. you know, Tom Cruise in Lord of the Rings, right?
Right.
You know, or something like that, right?
Exactly.
Tom Cruise playing Sauron and Elrond, you know? yeah, no offense to Tom Cruise.
None.
Mav.
Because of Top Gun.
We'll always love you, Mav.
For sure.
Let's see. Lord of the Rings and Wheel of Time are sharing crew and directors. All right. So Wheel of Time, you probably don't know this.
I don't know.
And I don't know Wheel. I'm not an expert on Wheel of Time by any means. But basically, Wheel of Time is by this author, Robert Jordan. And it's another fantasy property that Amazon picked up around the same time as Latron Prime and began a big production on.
Mm-hmm.
So I know almost nothing about the story, but I've heard it like kind of mentioned on a, you know, Lord of the Rings is the top tier. Nothing matches it, right? But then as far as like fantasy that has come after Lord of the Rings and everything, I feel like the Wheel of Time series is one of these that is one of the higher, you know, is on a pretty high pedestal, right? As far as a fantasy series goes. So,
gotcha.
And it is something actually I'm looking forward to seeing myself when it comes out. So. So it's interesting they're sharing crew and directors. Efficiency move, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They're aiming for a mid-2022 release. So not quite as soon as I was thinking, but maybe that means we'll start seeing stuff, you know, trailers and that kind of thing, teasers later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe not. Maybe they're just going to hold it all back and then unleash it on us. But I was kind of hoping maybe early 2022. So mid-2022, you know, is a little
it's
disappointing.
It's only a little... It's only a few months.
If that's what it takes to get it right, I'm cool.
Yeah.
It's been a long road, long and winding road. Mm. So I just hope it's, you know, sometime next year at the very least.
Yeah.
All right. And I know that, you know, obviously COVID-19 happened too in the midst of all this. So that probably delayed things in a big way.
Yeah.
All right. So good stuff there. All right. The next section is titled Men, Elves, Dwarves, and Early Halflings. All right. This starts off by saying, welcome to the second age of the Middle-earth cinematic universe, full of corruption, wandering, and a lack of alliances.
True enough.
All right. I think that might be just Clifford's own editorial
mm-hmm.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's the first bullet point in this section. Some halflings are dark-skinned precursors to Shire hobbits, quite possibly one of three somewhat different breeds, maybe Harfoots. So you might remember from our discussion with Holly Ordway that, you know, she talked about how there are, in fact, Tolkien mentions like that hobbits can have very, very different skin complexions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this got into the question of, you know, are there black hobbits, right? Mm-hmm. You know, dark skinned hobbits, right? And so apparently that's, you know, going to be something that's part of the show. Clifford editorializes on this and says, described by Tolkien in the prologue to Lord of the Rings concerning hobbits, they were browner of skin, and also they moved westward early, alluding to a time in their wandering days, or perhaps earlier, when they kept no records of their journeys over the misty mountains westwards, which may explain a little of why any early antecedents of pre-Shire migration hobbits would appear here in the Second Age instead of Third Age narrative.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this will be an interesting one, and I'm sure it'll be controversial if, you know, if they do include hobbits or halflings of any sort in this show. Because most people will think, like, you know, there's no record of hobbits or halflings before, you know, some point in the kind of the middle of the Third Age, early middle of the Third Age. So how do, you know, isn't this violating Tolkien's, you know, Tolkien's info? And I'm not sure it does necessarily. I'm not sure that, I think the point here is that there's not a lot of record of them, right? And, you know, maybe they preferred to avoid interaction, you know, with the big people at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, why not, right? Let's just wait and see. I mean, let's wait and suspend judgment and see, you know, what they come up with here. Because Amazon spent a lot of money on this, and I'm sure they know that people love hobbits and find hobbits relatable. So, so they're probably going to want to do something similar to that, you know, or leverage that in some way.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's going to be a continuing controversy as this thing builds up. All right. Sir Lenny Henry portrays one such early halfling, Harfoot. And so Sir Lenny Henry is a British actor who is black. And I believe, so I wasn't familiar with him by name, but he's been in quite a few things. And I think he actually, the one thing I saw is that he's in Harry Potter. And according to his IMDb page, he plays the shrunken head, right? In the bus. So he plays the shrunken head in that movie.
Okay.
So I'm looking at, he looks like he's been on Doctor Who. So it looks like, you know, just, you know, a real working actor, you know, has been around a long time, especially in British television and cinema. So, look him up. We'll link to his IMDb page so you can get a look at what he's been in. But that's one of the rumors here. So
okay.
Sir Lenny Henry portrays one such halfling, one such early halfling.
And it's Clifford's editorial that says Harfoot. Like, we don't know for sure that it's
right.
Harfoot.
That's true. Yes. Harfoot. Yes. Yeah. Is in the brackets. Right.
Yeah, that's just kind of his guess.
Let's see. So I'm going to do these next two in reverse order. Tom Budge was in the Celebrimbor, the Ringmaker role, right? So Tom Budge left the show a couple of months ago, right? So, you know, it was kind of, he announced on his own Instagram page that he had left the show. There was a lot of speculation about what that meant. Does that mean that this thing is turning into a disaster and, you know, these sorts of things? And, you know, I don't think it is. My spin on it, I made a video about this actually, if you want to go check it out, I'll link to it. But my spin on that was, or my take on that was that I'm okay with people getting fired because, you know, especially if it's because they were doing something that was kind of a little too out there, right? Like if they were going a little too far off the Tolkien reservation, right? Then I'm like, I'm okay with that, right? You know, and not to put them down, but just to say, like, you know, I want this show to be about, like, fidelity to Tolkien, like, first and foremost, fidelity to his vision, fidelity to the world he created. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Tom Budge was to play Celebrimbor the Ringmaker, but that role has now been recast. So, and then they're filming, I thought there was something in here about they were filming, refilming the scenes that he was in, but maybe I read that somewhere else. It might've been on a Twitter thread that was part of this. So anyway, on that note, you know, so they do that a lot, right? So people in the middle of productions, people will, you know, people in important roles will change. One of the most famous examples that a lot of you probably don't know about, right? You didn't know about it, but everybody knows the movie Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Well, originally, Michael J. Fox was not Marty McFly. Originally, Marty McFly was played by the actor Eric Stoltz. So there's all this footage out there that you'd recognize as Back to the Future. It looks just like the Back to the Future you're familiar with, except Eric Stoltz is playing Marty McFly, right? Which is, it's kind of weird to think about that, right? But this happens commonly in, you know, in a lot of Hollywood productions. For some reason, it just doesn't work out. The director, producers are like, we thought he was the right guy. We thought she was the right gal, but like, they just, it's not right. And this person seems like they'd be better, you know? Mm-hmm. So, these things happen. It's a normal part of the right. Hollywood thing.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's foreboding in any way. Like, it's just, it didn't work for whatever reason. I need to redo.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. certain creatures are referred to as ice trolls because they can't be called cave trolls. All right. Warner Brothers licensing restriction. Apparently Warner Brothers owns the whole cave troll idea. Nudity is sparse and not sexualized. All right. Mm. So this is a really interesting one. Contrary to earlier concerns, but rather, this artistic choice represents very dark thematic material suggestive of concentration camp type visuals of victims. Mm. A harrowing portrayal of the corruption of the elves by dark powers to ultimately become orcs. Wow. Okay.
Hmm.
Well, I'm, you know, again, this is unofficial, but I, you know, in general, I'm okay with this idea, right? I hope it's not like super graphic, but I mean, I kind of, if you know, I know this show is going to be a little darker, right? Because just the subject matter of Numenor and the Second Age is a little darker, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, my whole thing on you know, nudity within this show is, you know, I didn't want this to become some like, you know, like sexualized, overly sexualized, like, mm-hmm. you know, thing spent on Tolkien's world, because it's not that that stuff wouldn't have existed in, you know, Middle Earth. It's just that that's not the story Tolkien was telling,
right?
And in general, right? And that's not how he chose to tell his stories either. So, but there are a lot of like really horrifying elements, right? And violence is very much a part of that world. And so, you know, I'm in theory okay with this, right? I'd prefer that I can still feel okay watching it with, you know, my you know, still fairly young kids. But, you know, so I hope it's not like just, and honestly, I don't like watching stuff that's like super violent and, you know, and gruesome to the point of like looking 100% real. You know, at some point I get pretty uncomfortable. So, you know, I hope they don't go too far in this, but I mm-hmm. think using that as a storytelling to just express like what happened to the elves when, you know, when some of them were corrupted to become orcs is really fascinating. And yeah. I think that could be, yeah. that could work really well. So I'm glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I will also say that if this is going to be like kind of a theme of the show, or one of the themes, like the, you know, how did the orcs come about, the corruption of the elves into becoming orcs? I find that really interesting, because that could also mean that the theme is a redemption of an orc possible, right? Once an elf is transformed into an orc, can they be brought back? Not necessarily into becoming an elf again, but like, are they just sold out to evil? Like, what is the nature of an orc? And I think if this is going to be a long running show and orcs are going to be a big part of it, then, you know, the bad guys, this has got to come up, right? This has got to mm-hmm. come up. Like, what mm-hmm. Are orcs, you know, just like, are they just past the point of all hope, past the point of all redemption, right?
If they used to be elves.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a book I read years ago, part of this thread by an author named Jeffrey Overstreet. It was a story series called Aurelius Thread. And the second book in that series is called, I think it's either Sindir's Midnight or Kendir's Midnight. I'm not sure if the C is soft or hard. But in that, there are these characters called, I think like they're called like the Beastmen or something like that.
Mm.
And that book, I mean, it's so good. One of these days I'm going to go back and read it. But I just remember that book. It dealt with these characters it's basically like in his world, his version of orcs in his world. And this story was about like, you know, like finding the humanity, if you will, in this beast man, right? And it was so good.
Mm.
I was just like, wow, you know, this is an incredibly like fascinating concept. So I got to be honest, I would love it if that was part of the show, right? Like,
yeah.
How do we deal with, you know, characters who seem so far gone? And honestly, I think it's there kind of implicitly because of the question of Gollum, right?
For sure.
Gollum
yeah.
seems,
yeah, yeah.
you know, Gollum is kind of like, if you will, mm-hmm. an orcish hobbit, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we develop a sympathy for him over the course of the show.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know.
How interesting that this show could possibly make orcs sympathetic.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
It really is. It really yeah. is. So I'm there for it.
Yeah.
I'm there for it if they choose to go down
game.
That road.
For sure.
I think if they open up this question of like how the orcs became elves, or how the elves became orcs, they're going to have to deal with that, right? They're going to have to deal with like, you know, are orcs just too broken to ever have any hope of redemption or of, you know, coming back to something good, right?
Yes. And this would be, I mean, there's nothing that I can remember, at least that we've talked about or that I've read in Tolkien's works to suggest this, is there?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering how much of a limb would they be going out on, you know, by possibly exploring that.
We will just have to see. I mean, it's to my knowledge, there isn't anything that deals with it in depth, but there are parts of the history of Middle Earth that we did about orcs that we didn't get to take a good look at.
Mm.
And of course, there's also the nature of Middle Earth coming out soon, which may or may not have some information
That's
about
right.
These sorts of issues.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. From you know, I think we're going to find there's a lot of really interesting topics covered in that. So, yeah.
So anyway, we'll see.
Yeah, cool. We shall see.
All right.
All right. Elves will have shorter hairstyles. And Clifford says, cue the Twitter threads, both pro and con, and the voting polls, an endless constellation of constellations of lovely fan art. So please bring it, fans. I'm here for it.
Mm.
So short-haired elves. Okay. All right.
So yeah. like Legolas's long,
luscious locks. Apparently the days of the long, luscious Legolas locks are gone.
Well, you know, I'm open.
Or maybe not. Maybe they'll be different, just different hairstyles for different elves. Mm. Which, how dare they not have, you know, not all have short or long hair.
How dare they not conform?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And then lastly, Sauron Annatar will not be revealed in season one. So Annatar being the Lord of Gifts name for Sauron.
Mm.
So we're not going to know who he is. At least we're not going to know who he is in season one.
Okay.
Clifford says, going with the oldest axiom of show business, always leave them wanting more.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. So, Greta.
Yeah.
Lots of big stuff here, huh?
Yeah. No, that was really interesting. Yeah, I'm getting more and more excited.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, as Kip would say, I guess you could say things are getting pretty serious. Yeah.
I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. Hopefully it's the first of many spy reports.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll become more and more confirmed.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
As we get closer to the release.
But. Well, I guess we're potentially, you know, about a year away from seeing this show or less, potentially less. So it is very exciting. I am just, if all of this stuff proves true, you know, it's all continuing to be an upward trajectory for me in terms of my anticipation of this show. So it sounds like Amazon is really doing their best to make this what it needs to be, and to make this maybe something that could be truly great, which is, if you're going to make a TV show based on these things, it better be one of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Especially if you're spending $1 billion on it.
Well, especially if you're working with Tolkien's material, you know.
Well, and if you have an unlimited budget.
The billion dollars is the shareholder's perspective for Amazon, right? It's the Jeff Bezos shareholder's perspective. Mm-hmm. It better be worthy of Tolkien is the, like, you know, Tolkien fan podcaster, like, perspective on it, right?
Right.
You better make this amazing.
Definitely. No, right? I agree. I'm just saying, if you have basically an unlimited budget, like, you have no excuse not to.
Right.
Not to be
yes.
true.
Yes, that's exactly. Especially if you got a bajillion dollars to work with here.
Like, so. I said, unlimited.
Right.
Yeah.
There needs to be like a word for like a bezillion, Bezos,
like
Bezosillion.
A million, billion, trillion.
A Bezosillion. Bezos. Yeah. It's like an unlimited fund.
Oh, man. Yeah. But it's, I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. Based on this alone, I'm encouraged.
I am encouraged as well.
Yeah.
I'm encouraged as well. Well, we'd love to hear from you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, let us know what you think of these different, different rumors, different reports. Mm-hmm. And you know where to send them, TolkienRoadPodcast@gmail.com, through the website, TolkienRoad.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you can find us. We're always listening. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, like I said, next episode, we're going to try to get to some of the correspondence that's outspanning our kind of growing full mailbag of correspondence.
A good thing.
And absolutely. And, we'll have lots to talk about for that.
Sounds fantastic.
All right.
All right.
Well, thanks for watching, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Special, that's all for this episode. And thanks to our amazing patrons, especially the following: Lisa U,
Andrew T,
John R,
Ms. Anonymous,
Caitlin of Tea with Tolkien,
Shannon S,
Brian O,
Emilio P,
Zeke F,
James A,
James L,
Chris L,
Chuck F,
Azia V,
Ish of the Hammer,
Teresa C,
David of Pints with Jack,
Jonathan D,
Eric S,
Joey S,
Eric B,
Johanna T,
Mike M,
Robert H,
Paul D,
Julia,
and Werty.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all very much, and also a shout out to those celebrating their patron anniversary in July. Chris L.
David of Pints with Jack.
Joey S.
Eric S.
Invite in.
Thank you all.
Thank you all so much. Mm-hmm. And thanks to everybody for listening. We'll talk at you next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.